because we know you're coming home soon. Oh, we thank you, Father, for tugging on our hearts. God, speak to us, stir the nation, God. God, you're doing a new thing here. You're doing a new thing in our nation, God. Father, I pray you stir the churches, Lord. God, continue revival, God. Oh, Father, move in our churches, God. Move in our communities, God. Oh, Father, move denomination out of the way, God. I pray you move in with revival, God. Stir the hearts of your church, God. Stir our hearts, God. Stir our hearts, God. Oh, praise you, God. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. God, I need you. God, I'm hungry for you, Lord. Oh, I need you in my morning. I need you in my evening, God. I need you in my breath, God. Oh, Father, I want to be about your business, God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. You may be seated if you can. I'm going to preach. Dad asked me to go ahead and get up and share the word of God today. And so I'm going to just jump right in. I want you to open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 16. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, God is doing a beautiful thing here at this church. He's doing a new thing in our lives. He's stirring up something. And I want to be a part of it. I want to be a part of it, Miss North. Oh, man. I don't want to miss out. We better not miss out. That's right. That's right. God, I pray you just open up our ears, God, to continue to hear your word, Father. Lord, I pray you just anoint my lips to share and what you've given me to share to this body, Lord. I pray, God, that you just do your work. Move me out of the way, God. Have your way in this place, God. Just continue to move. Lord, your presence is so strong in this place. God, I love you. Boy, it's thick in here. Oh, hallelujah. Man. I God stirred my heart with this message, with this chapter in chapter 16 of one of Paul's missionary trips. He stirred my heart to read it in January, and I just have not been able to get away from it. And today we're celebrating our 28th anniversary of New Life Ministries. Amen. That's incredible. Dad asked me to go ahead and share today, and Lord said, this is time, let's go ahead and release it. So I'm going to release it today. And so I want us to talk about the journey Paul was on in this chapter. This is a little tidbit of his journey. It's just a small little pocket of it, of this incredible journey he was on. Amen. I want to read into it today, but you know New Life Ministries has been on a journey, Miss North, hasn't it? Oh, what a journey we've been on here at this ministry. But it's not just this ministry. Each one of you have had your own journeys, haven't y'all? Those journeys that it we're still currently on a journey, right?
Yes, we are.
It doesn't matter how old you are until you breathe your last breath.
Amen.
Amen. And then we just journey on over to heaven.
That's right.
Amen. That's a good place to be.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So it's just a continuous journey right there. We start from the very beginning as teenagers. Man, y'all teenagers, you're on a discovery. Figuring things out. And then as you get older, you think you got everything figured out, but you don't. But you think you do. And then your teenager comes around and shows you quickly that you don't really know everything. Oh, man. I tell you, I'm sure Avery's going to be pretty soon to be telling me and how to work electronics and how to do things too, pretty soon. Michelle's already doing that, and Andrew's already done that, so I'm sure Avery's going to be coming up. I'm like, I know how to do this. Okay, anyways. We're all on a journey called life, right?
Yes.
And what an incredible journey it's been so far.
Amen.
28 years of New Life Ministries, what an amazing journey. Yes. Holy smokes! Let's get into the Word of God today. Acts chapter 16. Let's just go. I want to start with verse 6. I'm going to read it from the Bible. Y'all can read it up there. Y'all can read it however y'all want to read it. I'm reading it from the NIV. It's a little easier than the King James Spanish version. I don't understand a lot of that sometimes. Brother North's smart enough. He can handle that one. I'm going to keep with the NIV. Paul and his companions, verse 6. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia, standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. What a journey this is going to be starting out on with Paul. My title of my message this morning is Seven Lessons for the Journey. Seven Lessons for the Journey. I hope this encourages you today on your walk with a God, when your journey in your own area of ministry, with this area of ministry, with your personal walk, with whatever your family is. I hope this word will bring a fresh perspective and encourage you and strengthen you. So my first thing, as I want to look at with this first chapter, with this first set of verses, but we're going to read a lot in this chapter. From 6 to 10, my first lesson I want us to pull from with this is this. Listen and obey. Listen and obey.
Yes.
It's so important that we are listening to God's direction.
Amen.
If you read verse 6 and 7, Paul says, I wanted to go and preach over here, but the Holy Spirit stopped him.
Yeah.
Now, preaching, wanting to go over and preach somewhere, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. But the Holy Spirit stopped him. Wow. He stopped him from actually going and preaching, you would think. But it's so important that we're listening to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, because he wants to take us somewhere. There's a purpose. He's got a plan. And he does it again. He says, okay, I want to go over here. And he says, the Spirit of Jesus said not to. So he didn't. And it says, at night, God gave him a dream to go to Macedonia. And it says, the King James Version, I like that one actually better than this one, this time around. It says, immediately he went. Immediately he went to Macedonia. He jumped on it. Boy, I tell you what, it's exciting. And then here, we're going to go into what happens in Macedonia. 28 years ago, God gave a vision, a dream to mom and dad of New Life Ministries. Wow, what a journey it's been. I remember the day mom and dad came and called us down to the apartment, or the townhome. They called us downstairs, and they gave us their vision. They said, hey, things are going to change up just a little bit. Okay. They gave us the vision of what God gave them. And they said, we're going to be obedient to it. As crazy as it sounds, we're not ready. We have no idea what we're doing, but we're just going to jump at this thing and be obedient.
Amen.
And they jumped right on in, Miss North.
They did.
Man, we started having services in the garage.
Yeah.
Had our rugs out. Had a fan in there. Come on, man. And don't we remember that, don't you? Well, we had some times in that garage. Man, it wasn't long after that God began to move us. God spoke to dad and mom and said, let's go. Y'all going to have to move from Fort Worth to Alvarado. That's a big jump, isn't it? So we moved to Alvarado. First time getting out here, had no idea, little bitty old town. All that we had was a Dairy Twin. It wasn't Dairy Queen, it's a Dairy Twin. And that was it. And Mary wouldn't let anybody else have nothing else in there except that. That was it. And God moved us onto this old army base. And we started our services out. We were in the little living room of the Hughes' house part. They had remodeled this little part of one of the buildings. And we were in this little area having service. Man, God began to move. And we all of a sudden we started growing a little bit. So we moved out to one of the larger part of the building. And that's when it was really rough. It's concrete floors. It was cold. Cracked windows. It was not finished. Wasn't insulated. It was just downright cold. But God moved. Man, did God move. Old Miss North and Brother North, they came out and visited. They've shared the testimony before. They were driving up and said, we're just visiting. We're not just going to make a rash decision. And the Holy Spirit got a hold of them and said, this is where you're going to be. And they planted their feet down and listened to the Lord, man, and have grown and developed and their faith. And, man, we've seen God work in their kids' lives and just done beautiful things in them. Wasn't long after that, Brother and Sister Wallace came and visited. God wrecked them. Woo! God got a hold of him. Slapped him upside the head. Turned him around. And boy, they have not been the same since.
Amen.
Impacting lives. Man, it wasn't long after that God began to share the next vision of New Life Ministries to start a school. In 1995, we began our school. And it was Aunt Ann, it was Miss North, Miss Wallace, Miss Wilson, Mom, Moses. Am I missing somebody? I think that was it. Teaching there and poured into kids, myself and a bunch of others, Amber, Garen, Galen, a bunch of us. We're all in there. Students, that's right. We're there pouring into us as students. And for 10 years, God ministered and did beautiful things through this ministry. Then God began to shift and change and move. You know, it's a lot of times we desire to stay in things. We want, this is, I like this. Oh, it's so important that we listen to the Lord.
Amen.
So important. Paul was like, I'm going to go. But he's like, no. I got other plans. And God began to move with our leadership. Our leadership moved and shifted away from the school. And then it wasn't long after that, God moved us off the property of over out there. Said, I need you in town. I need you in the city, the epicenter of a revival. Come on. And he said, so we moved to we started having service in the community center. That was a lot of work, Brother North. That was a lot of work. We breaking down the system, setting up the system, breaking down the system, setting up the system, breaking down the system, setting up the system, breaking down the system, and setting up the system every single Sunday. It was a lot of work. But God moved every Sunday. Boy, it was some powerful services. Powerful move of God. And then God opened the door for the Ponce's church. We started having service at 2:00 in the afternoon. How crazy and ridiculous is that? Church was supposed to be in the mornings, Miss North. We didn't get the memo. We didn't care. We just got to have church. We're just being obedient. And so we had church at 2:00 in the afternoon. And man, we had a powerful move of God there in those services at the Ponce's church. Then God shifted and brought us and opened up the door for here. And here we are.
Here we are.
Wow, that's been a journey. That's a quick little glimpse of this journey. I promise you there's some really, really ridiculous stories all up inside there, okay? Some I've been privy to, some I have not, okay? Some I'm sure did mom and dad is not telling me, okay? So listen and obey, man, because when we listen, I'm telling you, God can take you to some of the most incredible places in our lives.
Amen.
Let's continue to read there for a minute. Verse 16, I want to skip until they've gone to Macedonia. They've planted their feet. And here's just one little situation that came up, and I laugh every time I read this. Says, verse 16, once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. She followed Paul for the rest and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God, who are telling you the way to be saved." Now that sounds great. Somebody encouraging you, right? I laugh at this next part. It's so funny to me. So she followed Paul, the rest of us, and shouted, "Okay, let's see." She kept this up for many days. And Paul became so annoyed. Yeah, it's funny because stories, okay. She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed, he turned around and said, "The Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ commands you to come out of her." At the moment, the spirit left her. I find it funny because it's like, Ms. North, you understand this. You've been in season ministry for any season of time. There's those people that you just want to do that to. It's like, command you. I know there's a demon. I know you got. That's out of line, y'all. I know, but I'm serious. What a journey. What an incredible place this God can take us. Put people in front of us. Experience. I love the stories that we've had going to Mexico. I love the story brother, my mom and dad shared when they got back from, they had this huge revival at the park. I mean, hundreds of people. Oh, you probably said thousands of people. I don't know. I wasn't there, but I just know everybody kept on telling me there was a lot of people at this park. And they said, man, the power of God was moving. I mean, they had big speakers, big lighting system, and how they had the power of the lights. They had this little guy with a battery. He had a battery over there with wires and hitting the battery, and the batteries are just flashing, just sparking all over the place, so the lights kind of can move around and do something. Now, that's crazy, but it's funny because in ministry, we come across some fun, crazy things like that. You know, and then in our lives, you know, we walk it, we experience crazy things too in our journey, in our lives. Now, we think we've had a lot of experiences in our lives, ups, downs, crazy things happening. If you ever talk to Miss Faye, you will quickly realize your life was probably really boring, okay? So I try not to venture off into her stories because she's been around the world. She's retired military, okay, y'all? And so she's got some stories. But so when you go to the conversation, I already told her I was going to pick on her. So when you go, she told me, she texted this morning, she said she wasn't going to be here. So I said, well, whether you're here or not, I'm going to talk about you. So just be prepared. You know, so it doesn't matter. Just prepared. If you go and start talking about things that are going on in your experience in your life, her stories will be better.
Oh, yeah.
Period. Just be prepared, okay? Try not to be jealous, okay? All right? I fight that. Not going to lie, okay? She's got some incredible stories. But we all have these stories in our lives because, man, when we say yes to the Lord, man, he could take us to some beautiful, incredible things. When he allows us to just, when he says to go and we just go, I'm telling you stories. Miss North, I know y'all have incredible experiences with ministering the gospel. Oh, stories that are just highlighted to your heart. I know I have with ministering the gospel. Dad, I know you have with ministering the gospel. What an amazing time, amazing places God will take us when we listen to him. And he puts people in front of us that we have to deal with sometimes. And sometimes those people are annoying. I'm just being real with you. That's what he said. They annoyed him. Okay, Paul was annoyed. So I can say this, people annoy people, okay? It's just part of life, okay? Don't get all churchy religious on me, okay? Paul said it, or it's in here, Paul's story. It says they annoyed, it's okay. All right. And so, I mean, we got people in here that have come in this place that smell funny, that brought some stuff in, and then we pray over them. And our security team, we watch them. All right? But that's just part of the journey. And it's so important, though, man, the ride that God can take us on is so incredible. Did I say that second lesson? He's going to take us on a ride. That's the second lesson. Understand, he's going to take us for a ride. See, I'm jumping around. There you go. I'll be writing notes. I hope to encourage you on that one. He's going to take us on a ride. When, I mean, when we listen and obey, he is going to take us on an incredible journey.
Amen.
You have no idea the next phone call. You have no idea what can happen next. Things can take a turn so quick for the good and for the crazy and for the bad. And that's what happens to Paul and Silas here next. It goes south real fast. They're ministering the gospel. They are on fire. Fuego. I mean, they are just rah, sharing the gospel. And they're dealing with situations that come up. They dealt with a situation. And boy, it turned south real fast. Let's read what happens. Verse 16. Let's see here. Am I on that one? Where are we here? No. Verse 19. When her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace and to face authorities. Woo, that went south fast. They brought them before the magistrates and said, These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful to us Romans to accept or practice. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. Man, that escalated fast. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into the prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When they received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. Wow. Life can throw you a curveball so fast. Ministry can throw you a curveball so fast. One minute, spiritually rocking and rolling, and then all of a sudden, whew, roller coaster. And it's not just in ministry, it's in life. Second, this third lesson, it's not always going to be a bed of roses. It's not always going to be peachy and wonderful and exciting. You're going to have some storms. You're going to go through some hard times. I know every single one of us in this room has been through some season times, right? Been through some stuff. Some of you are already walking through it right now, going through things in your own personal lives. We walk through things in ministry. Sudden things that just, man, throw us for a loop, mess up our plans. Just a couple of things, just right off the top of my head, just in a physical area. I remember one Wednesday night when we first moved over here, one Wednesday night, Ann came after Mom had got done preaching so powerfully, awesome service. We were all on a spiritual high, man. Mama preached and came to me and said, hey, something's going on in the gym. You need to go check it out. Walked into the gym, and the gym had been vandalized. Now, that's a curveball. We walked in there, and our place that we were so excited about being a part of, we just started to move in. We hadn't been here for too long. Got completely wrecked. Paint, tiles destroyed. I mean, they had ransacked that gym. It was horrible. Wow, that's a curveball. That's kind of went south fast. But God. But God. God turned it around. We were able to use some insurance money and fix that place back up. Thank you, Jesus. But God. You know, another thing we had happen here at this facility, and I know I'm talking about a lot about New Life because, well, it's our anniversary. We're allowed to talk about it. And one day we came in here, and man, you talk about smelling like something was burning. Bad, 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 bad. Like this place was about to be on fire. Bad. And we started searching, and we found in these lights here, these ballast lights right all up along here, were melting, literally melting. And just, I mean, I don't know how long it would have been before it would have caught on fire. It could have easily burned this place down. But God. He showed us how to get. He showed us, got in here. Yeah, it was not as planned. And no, it threw a little bit of a wrench in things. But we came in here, we took pull all those lights out and said, well, we don't need them, I guess. But there's been so many other things that have happened, you know, in the seasons of New Life Ministries. And I remember one time it was a gut punch in the spiritual aspect of this church. And I know my little stories probably don't compare to some of the things Dad has experienced, and much north you guys have experienced, I'm sure, too. But years ago, I had somebody that had left the church, and they were disgruntled. And it was somebody that I had admired, and he was a mentor to me. And I sat down with him with lunch one time, and absolutely, completely just went off about our church. Our church will never be. Our church is never going to be. Our church is only going to be for a little bit longer. We're going to be closing the doors before no time. This is not happening. This is not happening. These people shouldn't be this. Just told me all the what for. Now, I'm younger, and I had respect for this man. And so that was a gut punch to me because I love my church. And spiritually young, it was a gut punch. And it hurt. And it lasted. It lasted. I'm going to say it lasted. But there's been things like that in ministry as we've walked through these years. I'm sure Dad has had that happen to him multiple times. I'm sure y'all have heard people say the same thing. This church will never be. We're never going to last. 28 years later, we're still going. We're still seeking God, but God. Amen. And in life, it's the same thing. We face some circumstances that absolutely can knock us on the ground. Yep. That throw us through an absolute loop. Yes. The Norse, that's happening right now, isn't it? That happened to y'all. Y'all are walking through it. Bailey's walking through it. And just like that, so many others who are walking through, that's right. Like that, walking through. Just like that, though, so many times we've faced and walked through some really dark moments in our lives. But understand something. God didn't promise that that wasn't going to happen. But what he did promise this, he says, I'll never leave you. And I will never forsake you. Amen. Not one moment. When some of the darkest times, I will never leave you. I'm always going to be there with you. Yes. And there's been seasons in our times where I came here to service. I didn't want to be here. I was going through hell in my life. But I kept on that word that I know my God's never going to leave me. Never going to forsake me. He's going to be with me. Through thick, through thin, good, bad. So this lesson that I want us to hear is this lesson is it's not always going to be roses. We've got to be prepared for that. We've got to understand that. That's fact. We're going to go through some circumstances that seem like hell. It is going to be rough sometimes. I'm not trying to dumb it down or say I'm trying to explain it that we're going to walk through some things. Just like Paul and Silas, they were beaten physically. Yes. You ever been hit with a rod? Yeah. It hurts. Yeah, it does. It hurts. I'm about to say my mama beat me with a rod, but I deserved it. She didn't beat me with a rod. She beat me with a belt. Anyways. Can you imagine, though, with a rod being bent over and hit on the back over and over and over and over and over again? For sharing the gospel and doing what God's called you to do. And that's harsh. I feel like that sometimes in ministry when we're trying to do good and trying to go after things and something happens, you get beat. It's just like, ugh. That's harsh. You start moving forward and you get excited and then all of a sudden, bam, something happens. It's hard. It's going to happen. Life, we get excited. We start moving forward. Things exciting, things happening. Then all of a sudden, a wrench gets thrown in your plans. But God. Let's just look and see what Paul and Silas did in their situation, in their circumstance. Let's go to verse 25. About midnight, Paul and Silas were posting on Facebook about midnight, Paul and Silas were tweeting. They were telling everybody. Paul and Silas, at midnight hour, they were. It's funny because so many times that's. Okay, anyways. About midnight, Paul and Silas, they were doing what they were supposed to be doing.
Amen.
About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. They weren't calling their buddies because they knew how to do it themselves. They weren't trying to call in prayer requests because they knew how to handle it themselves. Lesson 4, learn to pray. Learn to pray. Learn to pray for yourself. And your circumstances. I'm not knocking pulling in people to help pray. Nothing wrong with that. That's biblical. We should do that. Yes. But you could do it too. You got the authority. Learn to pray. Learn to pray over yourself, your family. That's important. They prayed. I love the next part. And the other prisoners were listening to them. Wow. Learn to pray. Church, that's one of the most important lessons, or one of the most important lessons in this text that I want you to hear is learn to pray. Learn to pray over your situation. Get in the prayer closet. That's what we've been talking about on Wednesday nights. Seek God's face. Because what happens when we've talked about it, is when we begin to pray and worship God, we move out of this flesh, just like we've been talking about, and we move into a spiritual realm. Yeah. And when we're in that spiritual realm, our eyes and our hearts are on God and what He's doing, what He's about. And the more we do it, the more our hearts are in tune with what He's doing. Paul and Silas were in tune. They said, you know what, I'm not going to sit there and say, woes is me's. I'm going to come in here and I'm going to wait on the Lord. I'm not going to throw a pity party on my situation. I'm going to get up and praise my God. I'm not going to post on Facebook. I'm going to post up in worship. Come on, amen.
Amen.
I'm going to get before God and I'm going to do this. Because I don't know what else to do. I don't know how to do it. I don't know what is going on. But I'm going to pray and I'm going to seek God. Now let's just look at what happened. Lesson 4, learn to pray. Let's see what happens. Verse 26, suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. Oh, I love it. Do you know when you pray, something happens? Do you know when you pray, something happens?
Yes.
That's what my Bible tells me.
That's right.
When you knock, what's going to happen? The door's going to be open.
Yes.
When you seek, what's going to happen? You're going to find. Every time the Bible says for us to do something, He said, this is what I'm going to do.
That's right.
So when you pray, expect something to happen.
Yes.
Learn to pray.
Yes. Right.
Amen. Learn to pray because something's going to happen.
Right.
You need a breakthrough, learn to pray. Get before God. You don't really know how to say what to pray. It don't matter. Just get before God. Talk to Him.
Yeah.
He knows your heart.
Right.
Sometimes we can be so frustrated about the situation, we don't really know how to properly pray.
Amen.
If that's even a way to do it properly. I don't know. You just ticked off. I'm sorry. God knows. Talk to him. I could just stay on that one for a minute, but I'm just going to keep on going. Let's just keep on going. Verse 27. So lesson 4, learn to pray. Lesson 5, let's go there. The jailers woke up. So the chains were broken. Well, that's exciting. You got to listen, you got to expect that to happen. You need to expect that to happen. Man, we're going to go through some stuff, but just know God's going to come out. We're going to come out of it. God's going to take care of us. We may not see it sometimes, but just we've got to understand it. God's going to see it through.
That's right.
Okay? Chains are going to be broken off. Period. It's going to happen. Okay? Yeah. Brother Wallace, it's going to happen. Okay? So ready? Go, let's go to the next. Where are we at? What verse am I at? It's verse 27. Y'all on it. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." Wow. The doors are open. The chains are off, but he's still sitting there in prison.
That's right.
29. The jailer called for the lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, and you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to them and to all the others in the house. At that hour of the night, the jailers took them to wash their wounds, and immediately he and all the household were baptized. Come on. The jailer brought them into the house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God. He and his whole household. Oh, that's incredible. When it was daylight, the magistrate sent their officers to the jailers and with orders to release those men. The jailer told Paul, "The magistrates have ordered that you and Silas be released. Now you can leave. Go in peace." How cool is that? Lesson number 5, stay focused.
That's right.
Stay focused.
Amen.
They were focused.
Yeah.
And so instead of walking out of the prison doors, they were focused on what God was wanting to do right there in front of them.
Amen.
They were focused on the kingdom's business. And they said, "Don't kill yourself. Let me tell you about the Lord."
Okay.
Don't do that. Let me tell you about what Jesus is doing. Let me tell you about what Jesus did for you. And they began to share the gospel. Got the jailer saved. Got their family saved. Instead of just walking out, they went and they ministered the gospel. Stay focused. Because I'm telling you, even though you go through storms, and God's going to see you through it, God's still going to put people in front of you that need Jesus. Even when you're having a little bit of a bad day, God's still going to put some people in front of you. Amen. Stay focused. I love that. Think about that. They were in prison. They were beaten. Okay? The doors were open. The chains were off. And instead of walking out the door, they're like, "Let me take care of some important business." Stay focused. Listen and obey. Lesson number 5, stay focused. I love that. Just because you got chains off doesn't mean you're done. It means what's next. I love that. It's what's next. Come on, bring it. I'm ready. Let's go. Listen and obey. Lesson number 6. I like this last part. It's probably one of my favorite parts. Let's read verse 37 and 36. Now, he's in prison now. He's said you're released and you're free to go. This is really, I think this is probably one of my favorite parts about Paul. It says, verse 37. But Paul said to the officers, now this is after he said, "You can go now." "Go in peace. Paul's like, no, 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 no. Oh, I love it. Man, I keep on getting lost.
37.
Y'all guys rock. But Paul said to the officers, they beat us publicly without a trial, even though we are Roman citizens, and threw us into prison. And now do they want to get rid of us so quietly? No, let them come themselves to escort us out. The officers reported this to the magistrates, and when they heard that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, they were alarmed. They came to appease them and escorted them from the prison, requesting them to leave the city. Woo! You talk about authority!
Amen.
Listen, number six lesson of this is know your authority in Christ.
Amen.
Oh, and it's okay to bust out your authority. Pump out your chest in Jesus. Come on. That's what he did. I said, I'm a Roman citizen. You're not going to treat me like this. I'm a child of God. You ain't going to treat me like this. Come on, let me tell you something. When we're going to go through some storms and we're going to go through some situations, and whether you are down or you're this way or this way, I'm telling you, it is absolutely vital that you walk through whatever you're going through with your chest out. I know who I am in Christ. I am his workmanship. Oh, I am his handiwork. I'm a child of the Most High God. He sent his son to die on the cross for me because I'm valued. I'm important. Don't let anybody ever tell you that you're not important. You are valued. You're a child of the Most High God. Act like it. Woo, man. And yes, you just went through the fire, but you don't smell like it, so stop acting like it. Oh, so many times in the church, you see it. I just got done going through the fire. Well, you don't smell like it, so stop acting like it. Stop acting like it. God did it. And when he does it, it's done. He doesn't do things halfway. He's not a halfway God, Brother North. It's a complete thing. And so, yeah, we're going to go through it, but when you get out of it, don't act like you smell like it. You don't. Walk out with your chest out. I'm a child of the Most High God. Hallelujah. Walk in that authority. Man, I love that part. I love it. It's important that we walk out, walk in the authority that God has given us.
Right.
Understand that we're children of the Most High God. Man, when we accepted Christ, man, we have his DNA pumping through our blood. Man, you got to get that. And the more you process that, Miss North, the more you pray about that, Miss North, the more you get it. And so sometimes, Miss North, when we get up here, we may not have had the best of the weeks. We can go through some storms. But bless God, when I get up here, I know what I'm doing because I've got Jesus Christ on my back. I'm going to walk in the authority that he's given me. I'm going to walk out my ministry. I'm going to walk it out in my marriage. Hallelujah. Man, that just excites me every time I read it, man. He's like, oh, no, 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 no. Whew, that just gets me excited. I have another scripture on that one, Ephesians 3:2. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work in us. God does not do things halfway.
No.
It's not halfway. When we come out of it, it's a done thing. And we move on. And we stay focused on what God's doing.
Amen.
So lesson one, listen and obey. Lesson two, he's going to take you on a ride. Lesson three, it's not always going to be a bed of roses. Lesson four, learn to pray. Lesson five, stay focused. Lesson 6, know your authority in Christ. And the final lesson is the overall picture of the story. Never wave the white flag.
Amen. Amen.
Paul and Silas, As I was reading and praying over this, when they were getting beaten, it doesn't say it, so I'm just theory. Okay. But if I were getting beaten with a rod, I would not want to be in that place. Okay? And I may not be throwing up the white flag, but I'd have it in my hand. Yeah. I would sure be processing it. Is this really worth this? Is this really? It's so important we understand this. And here's the core. I want to get to the core of what my message is this morning. Paul and Silas, even though they went through hell, they never waved the white flag. But so many times in ministry, so many times in life, we've all been there. We grab this white flag. We may not wave it, but we got it in our hands because it's processing. It's flesh. It's what we do. Because sometimes man, those down parts in our lives are tough.
Yes, they are.
Ministry can be frustrating. Just, we're being real with you. Life can be frustrating. Things that happen in our lives, man, we grab this white flag in our hands. And you know what? It's okay to have this in your hand sometimes. We got silent there. Jesus had this in his hand. Luke chapter 42. Jesus is praying. He's got this flag in his hand. He says this, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. He added, it's right there. He's saying, Jesus, he's saying, Father, if you are willing, Luke 22, 42. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yes. And then he says, yet not my will, but yours be done. I think about that, and in our seasons of New Life Ministries, we've walked through some storms, Miss North. Brother North, we've gone through it. We've had seasons that are fantastic, and then we've had some rougher seasons. And there's one part of our seasons that, and I've talked about this before, but I need to share it today again because it's so important that as the history of our church body. The hardest thing that our church has ever had to go through, that every single one of us shared, was the passing of my mother. By all means, over every single emotional thing that we've ever had to walk through with this church was saying goodbye to one of the founders of this church.
Yes.
We all felt it. We felt it as friends.
Yes.
We felt it as a church body. We felt it because we're family. I felt it as a son. But, Dad, I'm sorry, I know you hate me talking about this. But Dad, as his helpmate, felt it the hardest. He felt it the hardest. And if you've never lost your soulmate, you have no idea. And they have no idea. And I never want to experience it. Never even want to have that even thought process.
Amen.
We've already agreed. I'm going to pass away first. Sorry.
Don't even do that. Oh, my God.
That week, we were going through the months ahead. We're all feeling the pain, feeling and praying and seeking God. And Dad, everybody, we're all around, all on the same page, praying for Mom and trying to continue on with ministry as best we possibly could. And one of the things behind the scenes I was doing, I was working with Brother Wallace and Brother North and talking with them and talking with other pastors to be prepared when Mom did pass. Because we were getting closer. I didn't even get with Dad or anything about this. He was focused on Mom. But behind the scenes, I began to prepare because I had no idea how he was going to be. And I had several pastors come up and ready to go. And because I didn't want anybody of our church, I had no idea how we were all going to be. I just knew we were probably going to be a mess. And so I had several pastors lined up. The week Mom passed in 2016, that very week, I came to Dad and I said, Dad, I've got some other pastors ready to speak. Now, I'm telling you, I know this was probably in his hand. How can I move forward? How can I do this? I asked him, and I said, I've got all these pastors lined up, ready to go. And he says, oh, no. Nope. God's put me here to do a job. To do what he's called me to do. One of the best sermons I've ever heard my dad preach. He got up and he shared the message. Where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? We chase after God. Yes. And we run the race that he's set before us. Yes. And we do what he's called us to do. No matter how hard, Brother North, no matter how tough it is, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter if there's two people, no matter if there's 20 people, we're going to preach the gospel no matter what. We're going to run after what God is. We're going to be obedient to the call of God that he's put on our lives. Wow. Blew me away. Talk about leadership. And it took a season for him probably to pull this thing out and actually set this thing down on the ground. I don't know. He don't open up to me on that one. I just imagine. I know if I was there, I would have been that way. Here's what the Lord said. Here's what the Lord is wanting to do today. In ministry, so many times and in life, we get this thing in our hand. In every ounce of our fiber of our being, we want to wave this thing. Yeah. Breathe, come on up. Let's stand our feet. I'm about done. We're going to minister for a minute. In fact, why don't we all come to the front? And while you're coming to the front, I want you to grab a napkin. Tissue. Everybody, I want everybody to grab one in their hands today. We're going to do something. Because so many times in life, this is in our hands. And so many times, it lingers in our hands. And here's what the Holy Spirit was telling me today to tell to for this church body. Is some of you have had this in your hand for a lengthy amount of time. You've had this in your hand and you've been processing. Now, this may be concerned to marriage. This may be to ministry. This may be for whatever situation it is in your life. Not necessarily ministry, but just whatever area. Could be that, whatever. I've had this in my hand multiple times. Amber and I both had this in our hands when we went through some hell in our marriage. I've had this in my hand when it comes to this ministry. Where I just want to wave it so bad. I just want to be done. I want to be out. Because the situation, the circumstance. And here's what the Holy Spirit was saying today. As I was praying over this, this is the most important aspect of this message. Just like Paul and Silas went through hell, they never waved the white flag. They never said, I'm done, I'm out, I can't do this. They took the beating. They were in prison and they began to worship God through their circumstance. And when God moved in their circumstances, they were staying focused. They weren't focused. They weren't bitter about it. They weren't frustrating about it. They weren't saying, well, I got beat, so I just want to get out of here. Your people are the one that did it. They weren't about that. They were about the kingdom's business. So many times in our lives, we grab this thing because we want out. And here's what the Holy Spirit is saying, and say that some folks in this church have been hanging on to this thing for a length of time. Not sure what it was about. You've hanged on to this thing. Every ounce of your being has been wanting to wave it over the situation, saying, I'm done, I'm out. Some of you just here recently, even, whatever circumstances, I don't know. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit deal with that. But you've had this in your hand. Here's what the Holy Spirit's wanting to do today. It's time to let that thing go. Stop hanging on to it. Stop hanging on to it. Let me read this one verse real quick. I'll close this thing up. Let me read this one thing. I can quote it, but I want to just read the words. Philippians 3:13. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. I don't have it all figured out. I don't know. This is Paul. I don't know, Brother North. I don't. I don't know how to do this sometimes. I don't know what. Brother and sister, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. Straining toward what is ahead. Verse 14, I press on toward the mark to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward. I want to speak to everybody in this room. When I read that again, I want to read that again, but I want you to hear it. I want you to receive it today. And declare it. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Yes. Each one of us are called by God to do amazing things. Amen. To run an incredible race. Here's what the Lord wants us to do. We take this white flag, and I'm going to ask you to do something. You have already, if you've already been processing, you've already been hearing, you know exactly what's on your heart, something that you've been hanging on to. Okay, I want to pray. And then what I want us to do is I want us to lay this white flag at the cross. Amen. And not pick it up again. Amen. To be a once and done thing. Let's pray. Father, you've been speaking to hearts today. And you've been doing something in this place from the very beginning to now, God. You've been speaking to hearts, God. You've been preparing them. Lord, each one of us has a race that you've called us to run. And you see the hardship, the struggle that we face sometimes, physically, spiritually, mentally. And you see, just like your son Jesus was praying and he had that white flag. Man, we have the white flag too sometimes. God, we want to lay it at your feet once and for all. If you've been waving the white flag, or if you've had that white flag for your marriage, today is the day to lay that at his feet. And don't pick it up again. It's not an option. If you've been feeling that way about ministry, drop it at his feet. Don't let it be an option. Hallelujah. Wreath, I want you to sing that song again. Riley, could you come up here and sing while we do this? I want her to sing. There's an anointing on you, Riley. Where's that? We've got a microphone. Can we? Yeah. There you go. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do. If you'll come up. Amber, come up here. We're going to do this first. Come here, baby. Come on up here. We're going to lay this at his feet. Amen. I want to invite you to come on up. As she sings, I'm going to help you up here. I want you to come on up here. Lay this at his feet.
Remember who I was. I was lost, I was blind, I was running out of time.
Hallelujah.
Sin
Hallelujah.
Separated.
Hallelujah. Don't just go
the
through the
bridge
motions.
Was far too
mean
wide.
It. Drop it at his feet.
But from the far side
whatever
of the chasm,
this is it.
You held me in your side. So you made a way across the great divide.
Lay at his feet.
Left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. And there at the cross you paid the debt I owed.
Hallelujah.
Broke my chains, freed my soul. First
Hallelujah.
Time I at home.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Don't pick it back up.
Blood
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. It
Thank
has
you, Jesus.
Washed me white.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
Oh, thank
Jesus.
You, Lord. Get yours.
To glorious
yes.
Life.
No more surrender. Not even an option.
You
not even
took
an
my place,
option.
Laid inside my
tomb. You're gonna run your race.
You were buried
Hallelujah.
For 3 days.
Praise you, God.
But then you walked right out again.
Thank you, Jesus.
And now death has no sting.
Jesus.
And life has no end.
Jesus.
For I have been transformed by the blood of
yes.
the Lamb.
Been transformed by your blood. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus, for the blood
yes.
of God.
Thank you for the blood, God.
Thank
you for your finished work.
Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank
Hallelujah. God, thank you for your blood.
Yes.
Thank you for your finished work on the cross, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Michelle, Coral, I know you guys were in the nursery. Did you guys come up and participate in this that we've done today? Come over here. I'll tell you what we did. Come on. It's okay. I'm going to give you a short version. Don't worry. I'm not going to spend 45 minutes and doing it again. A lot of times, Coral and Michelle, we want to give up and we want to give in and surrender and wave the white flag. And what we're doing today is we're laying that surrender, that even that option at the foot of Jesus today. Instead of even having it in our hands and even thought process of giving up and walking away from God and walking away from ministry, we're going to lay this thing down at his feet today, once and for all. That's what everybody did. So I want to invite you guys to come on up here and do that just like everybody else did. Lay that flag at his feet. Hallelujah. There you go. Come on, Avery. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Your years, the best time, the best season is ahead. The best season, yes. The best season of New Life Ministries is ahead.
Yes.
The best days of New Life Ministries
is
ahead.
Amen.
In your life, the best days are ahead.
Amen.
God's got a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful things
yes.
in store for each and every one of you.
Amen.
Listen and obey. Listen and let God lead you. Hallelujah. I want to pray over everybody one more time. And then we're going to go and be dismissed. Pick up an offering too if you want to. Father, we thank you for today. I thank you for what you've done in this place. God, I thank you for the finished work at the cross. God, we have laid this thing down at your feet.
Yes.
We've laid the give up at your feet. We laid the give in at your feet. We've laid the surrender at your feet. We've taken that option completely off the table. And Father, I pray as we move forward in our lives, in our journey, in this ministry, and in our personal lives, God, man, that we don't pick up that flag again.
Amen.
That instead of picking the flag up, God, we pick up your word. And we read and study what your word says.
Amen.
God, guide us. Protect us in the days ahead. I thank you that the best days are ahead. And I thank you for the last 28 years, Lord, of this ministry. I thank you for all the ones that have come in and have served throughout the years.
Amen.
God, I thank you for the ones that have been here season this thing out with us throughout the years, the good, the bad, the ugly. Lord, I pray blessings over everybody, every member of this ministry, of this church body, God. I pray protection over them, God. I pray that you use them and just show them new things going ahead, Lord. I thank you for what you have in store. Be with us as we leave this place, God. I thank you for what you have in store for this next week. We praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. We have prayer. We have bread.